We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Hear how our Lord Christ has opened the kingdom of God even to little children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." To the sponsors, it is your task as sponsors to confess with the whole church the faith in our triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name this child is to be baptized. After this child has been baptized, you are at all times to remember her in your prayers, put her in mind of her baptism, and as much as in you lies, give your counsel and aid, especially if she should lose her parents, that she should be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God, be taught the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and that as she grows in years, you place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, bring her to the services of God's house, and provide for her further instruction in the Christian faith, abiding in her baptismal grace and in communion with the church, that she may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. This, then, do you intend to gladly and willingly to do? If so, then say yes. Because this child cannot answer for herself, we shall all, together with sponsors and parents, bear testimony on her behalf of the forgiveness of sins and the birth of the life of faith which God our Father bestows in and through baptism. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, then say, "I do renounce them." Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, then say, "I believe in God the Father." Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? If so, then say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ." Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? If so, then say, "Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit."
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Who brings this child to be baptized? And how is this child named? Morgan Marie Perry, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you birth of water and the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins, strengthened you unto his grace, unto life everlasting, Morgan. We have a Morgan receive this candle, a practice of the third century church, to be a constant reminder that we're assured through the waters of baptism, faith now burns within her heart. We approach the altar for prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Morgan Marie Perry new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly beseech you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has added Morgan Marie Perry to his own people to declare the wonderful deeds of our Savior. We welcome you into the Lord's family.
Invite the children up for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Everybody have a good Christmas? Yeah. You ever play music from a phone to a speaker? Like, look, I'm playing music from here to there and there's no wires. How does that work? What do you call that? Bluetooth, that's right. Bluetooth, we are smart. Everybody else was thinking, is it Jesus? That doesn't sound like Jesus, but Jesus is always the answer. But no, Bluetooth. Now I want to tell you about a king, King Harold. He lived in the 940s, and he ruled Denmark. And during the time, things were bad in Denmark. There were a lot of different groups fighting with each other. And King Harald Gormson is his name, talked to everybody, communicated really well, and got them to all come together and be united. Now, King Harald had a problem. We're not sure where his problem came from. Some say that his tooth, this is why you brush your teeth and floss all the time, he had a tooth or a few teeth that died. And when they die, they turn a different color like blue. Some say King Harald liked blueberries so much that his teeth turned blue. Well, guess what his nickname was? Bluetooth. And the people who invented Bluetooth, giving an ability to talk to something else and work together, remembered their history of King Harald and how he united people and brought people together to work together. And so that's where we get Bluetooth. In fact, the image or icon for Bluetooth, it's called runic symbols, but here's the H, that's for Harald, and here's a B for Bluetooth, and you put it together, and that's the image we have for Bluetooth. History's fun, isn't it? And before Bluetooth ever came about, you know what? You and I could always talk to God from the beginning of time. You didn't have to be connected by a wire. You could just talk to God. How do we talk to God? Pray. We pray. And he answers our prayers. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, maybe sometimes wait. Pastor Wugazer would always say, or wait, I have a surprise for you. And sometimes he just surprises us with something else. And he talks to us through the Bible, and that's why we study the Bible. So I want to thank you for being here today. And in Sunday school, I think you're going to the gym. You're going to get a sticker. I had a sticker that says, Jesus loves you. So you can go to Sunday school now. Thanks for coming up. Put this in your office? Yeah?
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Say to yourself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him.
Well,
it is good
now
to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Here ends the epistle reading.
Mm-hmm.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here ends the Holy Gospel.
grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There was this lady giving a prayer to God for the year 2020, and she prayed, Dear God, for 2020, give me a fat bank account and a thin body. Don't mix those two things up like you did this year. You know, it's that time of year, people, you hear about predictions, you hear about the future, and people talking about whether it's a stock market or sports teams, all these predictions. I was reading one psychic website, and the individual wrote this after all the things she met said that are going to happen this year. She wrote, "One thing we have to remember in the 2020 psychic predictions are still heavily influenced by the actions of the people. Free will is an ever-present variable that can alter the outcome of any event and therefore sway the prediction from one side to the other." Talk about covering yourself. It's unbelievable. But you know, a lot of people have made predictions that haven't come true. Remember Y2K? Planes were going to fall from the sky. Our cars wouldn't go. We were going to lose all the money in our bank accounts. It was estimated that the government and business spent over $1 billion to try to fix a problem that really never was. Sometimes you get it wrong. It was John Watkins in 1900. He said by the year 2000, the letters C, Q, and X would no longer be used. They'd be useless. How do you get by without those letters? Also, in 1903, President of Michigan Savings Bank was trying to convince Henry Ford's lawyer not to invest in the Ford Motor Company. And this is what he said. "The horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty, a fad." Fortunately, the attorney did not listen, and he invested $5,000, and in the end got $12.5 million from that investment. Dr. Lucas, a surgeon in 1911, he predicted, actually by this year, 2020, that the human race, you know those little toes, that they would all be gone, that we would all have just one big toe. Obviously, that didn't come to be the truth. Edward Bellany's 1888 novel, Looking Backward. He talks about people walking around with some kind of punch card, a physical punch card. And he writes this, "with which he procures at the public storehouses, found in every community, whatever he desires, whenever he desires it. This arrangement, you see, totally gets rid of the necessity for business transactions of any sort between individuals and consumers." Sounds a little like the credit card, doesn't it? Mark Twain, the man who gave us Huckleberry Finn, he wrote this in an 1898 short story. He talked about, he called it a teletroscope. And he said through this, "the daily doings of the globe will be visible to everybody and audibly discussable too, by witnesses separated by a number of leagues." Sounds like the internet. Here's another one, Nikola Tesla. Genius, worked with Thomas Edison for a while, but he talked about what the future would hold, and he wrote this. "It will soon be possible to transmit wireless messages all over the world so simply that any individual can carry and operate the apparatus." Sounds like the cell phone. A lot of things didn't come true, but many of them did. You know, as we start a year out, we look into 2020. The Department of Health and Human Services, they say the most popular surgery in America, eye surgery, cataracts, laser surgery, people want to see the best they can. And you hope to have 20/20 vision. Well, as we go into 2020, we really can't have 20/20 vision concerning what is going to happen in our world. We just don't. There's so many unknowns. We don't know what's going to happen in your life or my life. So many unknowns, but we can spiritually have 20/20 vision. Our Lord has promised, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." No matter what happens in the coming year, our Lord is a part of our life. He is involved in the good things and the bad things. He does not let go of people who belong to him. You know, we'd like to take those words from Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. We hope it's a prosperous year. But even if it's not, we still have hope. And we still have a future. No matter what happens here on earth, we're so involved with things on earth, we forget about the joys of heaven. We forget about a wonderful place where we're going to live forever and ever and ever, where there's no pain, where there's no suffering, where we'll be able to be joy-filled each and every day in the presence of Christ and the people we love. And that time will never end, ever. And yet we get so bogged down with earthly things, and we forget about the heavenly, and that our God has a plan and promise for our future. And you know, many times in life, God allows some bad things to happen in our life to build our character. Wouldn't you admit more often than not, failure instead of success builds your character? Isn't that often the case? It's when you fail. It's when things didn't work out like you planned. Your character is being built more often in those situations than when you find success. That's how it is in life, and it's how it is with our faith. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. The church was being persecuted in Thessalonica. And what had happened? What happened when it was persecuted? It grew. It grew in faith. It grew in love. And so often, when life gives us those troubles, our character is molded. Who we are is formed, who God needs us to be. And many times, it's in the failures. It's in the disappointment that our faith grows also. We realize we need God. We need him as a part of our life. We can make any plan we want. It doesn't mean it's going to work out. Our epistle lesson for today, James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, don't talk like you're in control of your life. Don't boast, tomorrow I'm going to do that, and tomorrow I'm going to do this. He says, you're just a mist. He says, if the Lord's will, that's what you should say, if it's the Lord's will, I will do this, or I will do that. Tomorrow's not in my hand. It's in God's hand. And to put our trust totally in him. Isn't that what Jesus is talking about today in our gospel lesson? He's saying, live for me. And he says, don't live as people who don't know God, who think they have to take care of themselves and do everything for themselves. Jesus said, it's not that way with the children of God. You live trusting him. In fact, Jesus is saying, put me first. Put my kingdom first. And don't see, he's calling us to a challenge. And don't see, if I don't bless you, I don't give you the things you need, I will care for you. But seek ye first my kingdom. You know, soon we're going to be doing a whole new sanctuary. Our community is going to see that this is important to us. That our faith and what we do on here on earth has an eternal difference. And that we invest ourselves into this because we invest ourselves into Christ. And Jesus said, I will take care of you. I will give you the things you need. You know, we do need to think more about heaven. This Jesus we just celebrated who came as a baby, he's going to come again. But he's not going to come as a baby. The second time he comes as a judge, to judge the living and the dead. Jesus himself, talking about this great event, said he's going to separate the people like sheep from goats. And then he's going to say to the sheep, come to the paradise prepared for you. Because I was hungry and you fed me. Because I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was in prison or in jail and you in the hospital when you came and visited me. And what are we told? The righteous say, well, when did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you in prison or in the hospital and come visit you? And Jesus said, every time you've done it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Those are powerful words.
Jesus, in that story about the Last Judgment, is telling us this is like a courtroom. It's not hearsay. Jesus isn't going to point at you or somebody else and say, okay, you have faith, come on to heaven. No, he's going to look for the evidence of your faith. What is the evidence of your faith? This is a courtroom that deals with evidence. Our good works don't get us to heaven. Our good works just show that we have faith, and that is the fruit of faith. And in the last day, Jesus is going to point to those things and say, there is your faith. I see it in your life and in your deeds and what you have accomplished and what you have done in my name. That's a fun song to sing, Good King Wenceslas, wasn't it? I always sing it around Christmas. We associate it to Christmas. Did you hear baby Jesus mentioned? No. No Mary, no Joseph, no angels, no magi, no shepherds. Doesn't even say the word Christmas. Why is it a Christmas hymn? Did you notice the word on the day of St. Stephen? St. Stephen was an apostle of Jesus. He is the first to lose his life for the sake of preaching the gospel. He is stoned to death. His feast date on the church calendar is December 26th, the day after Christmas. John Neal, who wrote this hymn in 1853, he also wrote another hymn you love to sing, O Come, Emmanuel. But he wrote this hymn for December 26th, the feast day of St. Stephen. And it was common in some countries that was also called Boxing Day. Now, we're not sure what the term Boxing Day means. On the 25th, the wealthy made sure their servants worked for them so they could celebrate Christmas. And Boxing Day might be the idea of giving the servants their Christmas the day after. They would fill a box with leftovers, some gifts, some money, and give it to their servants. But Boxing Day could have also come from the practice of putting money in boxes called almsgiving. And then the alms, the money gifted, would be handed out to the poor and needy. And so December 26th is the day that we remember St. Stephen. But who is King Wenceslas? You go to the early 900s. He's not a king, he's a duke. When he was young, his father died suddenly. It threw the empire in chaos. His mother was deported. His grandma was strangled to death. But when the dust settled, Bohemia wanted Wenceslas to be their duke. The problem was he was too young. So his mother ruled in his place. But when he turned 18, he became the duke. Unfortunately, the mother divided the empire and gave his younger brother the other part. His younger brother wasn't happy not having the whole empire. And so he and three other people plotted to assassinate his brother. Duke Wenceslas would only rule for 10 years. On September 28th, as he's making his way to church, his brother and the three companions meet up with him, and they stab him to death and kill him. Wenceslas was so loved by the people because of the care he showed for those in need and the love that he gave to his people that he was instantly considered a martyr and a saint. Now think about it. A king from the 900s in 1853 gets a song written about him, and we still sing that song. This man who is remembered for good deeds. This might be my last year. This might be your last year. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want people to talk about when they're talking about you? And those things you want to hear them say as you're a memory, is it the way you're living now? Or maybe you need to change the way you're living to create the memories you want people to hold dear. As we go into coming year, let's put Christ first. That relationship. Let's call Jesus to the test and see if he doesn't abundantly take care of us. And then let us consider others and help the needy and the poor. And know that in doing it, we are doing it to Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Please rise. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have sent your only begotten Son, that by his blood we are cleansed from our sins and can appear before your heavenly throne day after day. In the waters of our holy baptism, we have received this same forgiveness. Grant us comfort and strengthen us that we might straighten up and look and see Christ coming and our redemption drawing near. Dear Lord, we bring before you all who look to you in faith. We ask that you would give them comfort and strength as they experience the sin in their bodies of disease and sickness and pain. Guide the hands of the doctors who serve them, that they might bring them swift healing now in our time, and strengthen their hope in you, that they might always cling to the hope of the resurrection. For Mike Schinnebarger, Chris Decker, Carolyn Webster, Marilyn Stargard, Rhonda, Betty Owens, Jack Orva, Rudy Becker, Vic Moigas, Suzanne Stock, Bruce Landino and Joe Cotant, Fred Rohrbach, Janelle Thorne, and Bob Ernewine. And for all who care for these we have listed, dear Lord, grant them strength that they might continue to show them mercy and give them hope as well as they bear witness to the care you give us each and every day. For those in hospice care, especially Margot Gray, we ask for your comfort. For Nancy Dillman and all Redeemer members who are homebound, we ask for your strength and encouragement. For President Trump and all world leaders, we ask that you would give them wisdom, that they might administer justice in our land. For all pastors and all who serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, especially our Synod President, Matt, and their District President, David, and all missionaries, fill them with this same message of hope and the joy of the gospel as they go out into all the world and support this gospel. For all who serve in the military, police, and firefighters, protect them in their work, that they might protect us, and bring them home to their families. For all who celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, we give you thanks. We welcome through baptism this day Morgan Marie Perry, and we ask that you would continue to help us as we draw our strength from you in these same water and word that you have given us. May we grow as a family in your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for the sanctuary altar flowers and the chapel altar flowers, for the beauty they give us. And we give you thanks for the Family of God Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting sponsors. Help us all to give as generously. And dear Lord, we pray as you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.